Tonight's talk is called on the handout, The Flute of Krishna / The Forward Impulsion. These are the titles of two articles, which can be found at www.theosophy.org. If you want to read these articles for yourself, you can find them there. If you go to www.theosophy.org, you'll see a menu, and one of the items you can hit or click on is called Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S. If you click on Hermes, you'll get a whole list of articles. And you can click on alphabetically if you wish. And then as to the Flute of Krishna, you just go down to F and you'd find the Flute of Krishna. So this lecture is based on two such articles. One called the Flute of Krishna, the other called the Forward Impulse. Both articles were not written as articles. They were extemporaneous talks given by my own teacher, which were recorded, and then they're transcribed into article forms, so people like us can read them if we want to, if we didn't happen to be there to hear them in the first place. So basically, I'll be talking about a manuscript of a talk given by somebody else, spontaneously with no notes. The Flute of Krishna is we should say something about this is not a lecture or a discussion per se of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the text in which with which most people associate Krishna, and so it's not about a discussion of the Bhagavad Gita. That would be a strange undertaking, since there's so much to it. It's been said by some that the Bhagavad Gita was part of a very long Hindu epic. And don't worry too much about these words, called the Mahabharata. It's a whole series of Hindu sacred texts. And at a certain point in time, as a great sage, you don't have to remember any of these names, but there are names that are associated with this lineage. At a certain time, a great sage named Shankaracharya went through the Mahabharata and selected out a certain section of it, which came to be known as the Bhagavad Gita. He also wrote a commentary on the sections that he pulled out and called the Bhagavad Gita. It's been called the Song of God. It's been called the Song Celestial. It's been translated into many different translations. The first English translation that made it to America was read by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And if you've ever read Emerson, or ever do read Emerson's essays, and you also read the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see the inspiration for Emerson's essays. There's also a verse form of the Bhagavad Gita called, which is in print, if you don't mind poetry, coupled with profundity. It's like the Bhagavad Gita in poetic form. And it's called the Song Celestial, and it's by a man named Matthew Arnold. And it's very poignant and moving. And it's a paperback. The Bhagavad Gita is about Krishna. So we have to talk about Krishna. And Krishna was said to be an avatar. An avatar is a difficult concept for us to comprehend. It's even difficult for someone who's studied it to comprehend. But it has to do with the idea that the ultimate source of reality, whatever that be, takes on a human form. The ultimate source of reality is not conceived of as a person. It's not conceived of as a being. It's conceived of as pure consciousness, pure light, pure bliss, pure knowledge. It's eternal, no beginning, no end. It's transcendent. It can't be seen with mortal eyes. Krishna is said to have been one of its expressions on earth as a so-called avatar. We won't go into all the Hindu metaphysics, but in Hinduism, the way they talk about the highest reality is in terms of Brahma, creator, Vishnu, preserver, Shiva, destroyer, regenerator. All three of these are just personifications of forces in nature. They're all occurring simultaneously everywhere all the time. And what's beyond these three is unknown. And Krishna is said to be the fourth avatar of Vishnu, the preserver. And and he lived a life like us, walking around in a body. And apparently when he was young, he lived roughly 5,200 years ago. So 2,500 years after Krishna, we got Buddha. And 5,000 years before Krishna, we got Rama. For those of you familiar with the Rama or the Ramayana. So there's a line that comes down through human history, recorded and mostly unrecorded in the West, but nonetheless recorded by those who know. There's a line of wisdom that comes down from Rama through Krishna, through Buddha, down through our own time. And this Krishna, when he was a young man, was apparently quite playful and kind of a jokester. And when he was in his what we'd call his teens, he played a flute and enhanced and charmed all the young women who were herding cattle, who all fell in love with him because of the music of his flute. And when he became older, he destroyed demons. And he also was advisor to this royal court, and which we'll get to, the royal court.